You're a living entity. And I do want us to pray for just a moment. You know, we were reminded yesterday, and the sermon connects here. Some of you are getting it now. Some of you are getting it. Some people used to question me. I thought, man, how come do you preach Jesus so evangelistically every Sunday? Well, let me help you. If you all would bring me a certificate of the exact date that you're going to die, then we'll take care of that about 2 weeks before you leave the planet. But you know what? I don't want to shortchange you. Not only have I found that following Jesus Christ is going to have a wonderful end to the story, it has a wonderful moment during the story. I don't want you to be shortchanged on life. Do you know how many people sit in church Sunday after Sunday that are just good people that never meet Jesus? Thousands. Especially in the American church, because if you'll give the church, you know, a little money, they'll tell you what you want to hear. That's the state of the church in America today. And it's sad. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ has a life in store for every one of us. And that coming to church and being a part of the bride of Christ is not a game. And it's not a good thing. Hear me. The problem with the church is we made it a good thing. And we got the good and the bad of it. And that's not what Jesus taught at all. Jesus said, I have come. He said, I have come not so that you can be good. We miss that, don't we? Hey, I know I did. I sat in church all my life as a kid, and guess what they told me? I had a little old bowl haircut. Y'all remember those bowl haircuts? It looked like your parents put a Tupperware bowl over your head and just trimmed you up. I had a little old bowl haircut. Mark had one of those. Can you imagine? And there I'm sitting in Sunday school, fourth, fifth grade, you know, or what they call that back then, intermediates, primaries, juniors or something. I don't know what it was. I remember one time I was a sunbeam. Can y'all imagine me being a sunbeam? The names these people thought of, and they look at it, and my teacher said, you need to straighten up and be a good boy. How many of you have ever heard you need to straighten up and be a good whatever it is? Huh? You need to be a good girl. You need to be a good boy. You need to be a good person. You need to be... No, that's not what Jesus came teaching. Jesus said, I have come unlike the thief. He said, there is a thief in your midst. How many of y'all realize there's a real devil? He's nasty, he's ugly, and he's real. That's another thing we've forgotten about. You know, we kind of just like, well, there could be some bad things. No, these aren't bad things. These are evil things. These are demonic things. These are devilish things. And the devil has three purposes and only three purposes. He has three abilities and only three abilities. The devil is limited. Somebody say, well, thank God. See, I want to talk to you about it today because there's two things I want us to just get off of mind. It's not about being good, and the devil is not equal to God. Amen. A lot of us got some bad theology. This summer I'm going to correct some bad theology. You know, you got to reason a little bit. In fact, the Bible says, let us come together and not only pray, but reason. The Bible said, use the brain I created in you. The devil is not equal to God, and God has not called you to be good. The thief comes only. Here's the only three things he can do. Steal. How many of y'all know you got a devil that wants to take away what's already yours? It's already yours. Man, you don't need the prayer of Jabez. You know, the prayer of Jabez was, I need more. You need to activate what you have. I got so tickled when that whole Jabez thing came away. I mean, I'm sitting here laughing, first of all, because people don't understand the difference between the first covenant and the second covenant. And I notice how all the prophets are always quoting out of the Old Testament. And if they really knew Jesus, they'd know the Old Testament has been fulfilled in the Son of God. The first covenant was fulfilled in flesh that dwelt by power of the Holy Spirit. His name's Jesus. He's the final prophet. Jabez, sub-prophet. Elijah, sub-prophet. Jeremiah, sub-prophet. Jesus, big prophet. Does that help you understand it? And here's what Jesus said. He said, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is mine. And he said, I'm going to give you the what? Kingdom of God. How much more territory you need? How many more acres you need? Oh, by the way, the book only sold in America. Because we're the only people wired
to think more is better.
The Bible doesn't teach more is better. You know what the Bible teaches? Jesus is enough. Jesus is kind of weird, isn't it? He's not an American. If Jesus had been American, he said, "All right, I got the kingdom of heaven, but how do I get 40 acres on the other side?" Jesus said, "I'm going to celebrate in what I have. The thief comes to steal what you already have. He comes to kill. Devil kill you." How many of y'all understand that? I want you to understand the devil's not here to make you bad, do bad things. The devil will kill you. That's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to kill you. The devil doesn't like people. Y'all kind of get it? He doesn't like the way we look. He doesn't like the way we talk. He doesn't like the opportunity of grace we have. He doesn't like that we are living realities of the grace and the glory of God. The devil just doesn't like us. How many of y'all understand that? He does not like us. He will kill you. I remember when Blake was a little boy, he said, "That'll die you." Your dog told me, I said, "Daddy, that'll die you." Well, let me tell you what, the devil will die you. Does that make sense? It's a great line. It'll die you. Kill you! So he wants to kill. He wants to kill potential. He wants to kill opportunity. And guess what? Here at Hillview, I want every one of us to live in the full and abundant life that Jesus has given us. Look here. Third thing is this: destruction. Satan wants to destroy the reality of God. Now, Satan's got a rough job, because how do you destroy a God that is indestructible? That's like trying to get a woman to change her mind. It ain't going to happen. True? I mean, y'all got a wife or a mother or a grandmother. Once they are bent on something, you are going that direction. Huh? Well, watch this. I really want you to see this intensity. Guess what? God is indestructible. How many of y'all believe that? I mean, He's unshakable. You know that song, that chorus we sing? He's unshakable. He's unchangeable. He's unstoppable. Keith, did I get it right? Yeah, close enough. You know, they were making fun of me, some of the pastors. Eric Baker. And they were making fun of me how I get song titles wrong all the time. I said, "Ayers, you just throw out some line from the 70s song. Of course, you don't know any songs." I said, "But it's close enough. People get it's that song. They fill in the blank. They know I don't know the title or the artist." And I want to apologize. Last week I got Time in a Bottle mixed up with Cats in the Cradle. They're not even both by the same guy, are they? One of those 70s songs. You know what I'm talking about? And if you were from that era, you're old enough now that I can say one of those songs and you go, "Yeah, that's right." See what I'm saying? Because those are memories, not current events. Okay, y'all got this. Devil wants to kill, steal, and what? Okay, let's talk about God's intensity. How many of y'all search for the will of God over and over and over again? You've been to conferences. You've spent thousands of dollars to find the will of God in your life. And you've got a t-shirt, "One day I'll find the will of God in my life." And you've been prayer meeting after prayer meeting to find the will of God in your life. If you'll read the Bible, it's real simple. God's not a hidden mystery. He's an absolute revelation. That means He reveals Himself, not hides Himself. We hide ourselves because He reveals His. Does that make sense? But here's what He said. It's a real simple verse. That may be why a lot of complex people miss it, because they want to have some kind of mysterious reality so that they think they can have a secret message from God. They must have enjoyed decoder rings back when they were kids, but God's pretty clear. Jesus is pretty fill in the blank. Jesus is so clear, people like me can get it. He said, "I have come." That sounds pretty pointed, doesn't it? "I have come." Pretty bang. This is my issue. I have come so that you, that's us, people might have a personal encounter. I have come that they might have full and abundant life. Now, guess what that means? Without Him, there is no full and abundant life. Now, you can have a life, but it'll never be eternal. And it's purposeful that we live the life. So if you'll go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, one day we're going to be out of 1 Peter. This is not as long as the Gospel of Mark. Oh, by the way, I got good news. Guess what's coming up on the preaching plan? Y'all pray about this. How many of y'all went through the Gospel of Mark series? Y'all remember the Gospel of Mark series? You should have. It was 20 months. How many of y'all remember? Pastor Gary was interested. We went through the Gospel of Mark, and everybody said, "Man, you're going verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark." Man, we saw over 500 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through that sermon series. You know why? Nobody knows the Gospel. I go to churches, and most people have never read a full Gospel. All they've done is watch the previews. See, if the only biblical information you have in your life is the sermon, all you've seen is the previews of the movie. You haven't seen those little details of the movie. You haven't seen the whole picture. Now, once you get the whole picture, you'll know how to live it out. That could be why, just a sideline, Bible study is real important. So you can sit down with somebody like Professor Tim Murley as he breaks the bread of life to you, and you can argue with him, and you can dialogue, and you can get into the trenches, and you say, how in the world does this apply to my life? Now I see the full picture. Well, let's look at 1 Peter. Here's what he says. Y'all got this? Stay away from the devil. He's going to kill, steal, destroy you. God's issue is to bring you to eternal life. Why? Verse 7, chapter 4, 1 Peter. The end of all things is near. Now, you have to understand, when you read the letter of Peter, they're in Roman conflict here. Watch this. Christians have been declaring the end since the beginning. You know, we got all, you know, I saw the other day, I got a brochure. They were having a prophecy conference. The reason I bring this up, it's funny that I get to bring this up, because what's Tuesday going to be? 06-06-06. Guess what that means? It's the sixth month, the sixth day in the sixth year of the 21st century. That's what that means. But oh, some of our number brothers and sisters just know the devil's going to do something really demonic on that day. Let me help you. The devil is an everyday demonic kind of demonic being. He doesn't go like, ooh, oh, 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 666. I'm going to do something really big that day. He tries to do something really big every day. It's just that he's capped down most days because of those who follow Christ. You see what I'm saying? He's not the big boy on the block. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, this is the problem. We get all hootie about the devil. Yeah, I heard some Christians going, what do you think the apocalypse will start on that Tuesday? I remember I was crying laughing. Remember September 11th? We had preachers in this city that had been to seminary that had signs up in 1988, September the 11th was going to be the end. Now, I had a big New Testament test that day, and I was hoping it was. And I remember sitting in that classroom, and I had to joke with my professor, because, you know, we were all laughing in seminary, because we actually study the Bible and not just get on, you know, hype. And there wasn't any indication from anywhere in history that September the 11th, 1988, was the day we were all going to be hoovered up. And I told the professor, I said, well, I'm not going to take this test. No use me wasting this energy, because I figured about 12:15, boom, we're out of here. Scotty beamed me up. He laughed. He said, if I was you, I'd take it just in case, because he said, Ayers, there's a slight chance you won't even be beamed. I said, that's a pretty good word, Doc. And I took her. He said, he may leave some of you down here until they get better. You would be in that category. Look at here. The end of all things is near. Now, I thought about that, though, but in a very personal way, the end of all things, you know, could be any moment. We had that happen yesterday. Had that happen yesterday. And it's not just because motorcycle, it's just because life. Life can end pretty quick as we know it. But now I want to give you the good news. Your life in Jesus Christ will never end. Did you all feel that certainty? There's a certainty in Jesus Christ. Deacon George, I sound like a blues singer, doesn't it? Deacon George, you faced a moment where life could have ended. Amen? I mean, when they're putting new lungs in, that's a serious surgery. Y'all understand that? Yes, I went to the hospital to visit George, and if you'd like to have your lungs transplanted, I'll come visit you too. If you're just getting your toenails trimmed, you're on your own. It's you and God and the prayer of Jabez. All right, so watch this. Here we go. Look, George, wasn't it great to have the certainty that no matter what, you go on with Jesus? You see, when we get in those life moments, this is the certainty of Christ. Now, since we have the certainty of Christ, we ought to live in the certainty of His power as a community of faith. See, that's where it really starts reflecting. Look what he says, the end of all things is near. Now, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Note two things the Bible calls us to be in the community of faith. Clear-minded. Y'all want to know why you can't get drunk? You can't get drunk and be clear-minded. Amen? Not that any of y'all know about that here. Guess what else you can't do? You can't pollute your mind with a bunch of silly gossip and be clear-minded. How many of y'all listen to gossip? It's intoxicated. It will keep you from being what? clear-minded. Here's the way I do life. I don't believe anything about anybody till I meet them personally. Because you know what I found? Everybody lies a little bit. And by the time you get the accumulation of everybody's little lie, a lot of times you're sitting on one big lie. Amen? How many of y'all tell the story and just color it a little bit? You just put your little, you know, just... I'm not saying you're lying. You're kind of like a politician. You're just spinning a little bit. You know, kind of like O'Reilly, a guy that shoots it straight without any of his perspective in whatever he says. Like Rush Limbaugh, he has no pointed opinions about anything, does he? He's just generally speaking what he is observing. Right? All of us are like that. Guess what? Be clear-minded and be what? Self-controlled. Now, those are two things that come from the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something that happens in a Christian community. We get a new set of eyes that allow us to see what? Clearly. That this moment is not the final moment. So that begins to relax us. And then we can get self-control. I need to allow God to lead me in this situation so that I don't come unglued in all my situations. That makes sense? Be clear-minded in what? Self-control. Pastor Shane, to take about 100 or so adolescents to camp for a week, what are two things you got to be?
Clear-minded and have self-control.
Amen. I mean, if you were drunk, could you lead those kids?
Absolutely not.
Amen. Now, by Wednesday night, you might want to be drunk, but you got to resist the Noah temptation. They don't want to find you in camp up on the hillside pleading to God saying, I'm out of here. Amen. Come on, I'm giving you real life. But the Bible says you be clear-minded. Here's why. You can be clear-minded because when you have the mind of Christ, you will see through the situation. Hello?
Amen.
And number two, you can be self-controlled because the Spirit is now going to drive you instead of your own purpose. Wow. Different way of living. And he goes on now. He said, remember this. And above all, somebody underline that in your Bible. Go ahead and say amen. I'm going to say something real good.
Amen.
Above all. Did I tell you, above all, that's above all the singing, above all the preaching, above all the religious politicking, above all else in Mark Hale, as beautiful as the parking lot, above the parking lot, above the new chairs, above all, love each other deeply. You know what the church lacks today is deep love. Not shallow love, not friendly love, not polite love, not cordial love, not, you know, acquaintance type love. I'm talking deeply love one another. A love that would transform somebody else. A love that'll make you clear-minded and self-controlled. Dr. Earl, what do you think? A love that says we are going to go on no matter what. That only comes from Jesus. Amen. That only comes from Jesus. Now, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of what?
Sins.
How many of y'all have ever, like, got mad at your grandmama? You can't do it hardly. Why? I mean, think about a grandmama, your grandparents. I never got to argue with my grandparents. I got to argue with my parents, but not my grandparents. Why? They let you do stuff. And what else? It's this deep love. It's a deep love. They've been at it a long time. And grandparents, they want to love you to get what? Get you through on to something. And I think the reason the advantage of the grandparents is this. You know, you've already had kids once and you know where you've messed up. And on the second round, you can correct that. That's why your parents are messed up and your grandparents are a little better because they messed your parents up. But if you roll it on back, it just started with we're all messed up, so don't get real zonked about that, all right? And don't think you're special because you got screwed up parents. We all have screwed up parents. You know, we got real popular for a while. Well, I come from a dysfunctional family. Let me help you. Who doesn't? And the ones that don't come from a dysfunctional family, that's a family total of denial, and those people are real messed up. They're living on the Walton set, denying that reality is happening.
Yeah, it's to get real and do what? Deal with God. Love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of what? Note that! You want to help your congregation get through this sin, what's the weapon? It's not worship. It's not legalism. How many of y'all have ever done this? When I came to Hillview, some of you remember this. There was a constitutional bylaws that looked like a JCPenney's catalog. It was this thick. You know why? See if any of y'all have ever been in a church like this. Every time there was a problem, there was a new law passed in the congregation. Will law get rid of sin? Will regulations get rid of sin? I remember youth camp. These kids are going to youth camp. I remember we used to have a youth pastor. We had a youth pastor. And I remember one time, Eric, he had three boards full of everything we couldn't do at youth camp. That brother gave me seven ideas I hadn't thought of. I want y'all to hear me. I believe this. I'm in the scripture right here. Rules and regulations will never release us of our sin. It doesn't correct it. You say, well, we're going to regulate sin. You don't regulate sin. You forgive sin. You get rid of sin. You abolish sin. You relinquish sin so that you might live in a life of freedom. Look, Jesus Christ didn't come to confine us in our sin. He came to release us of our sin, forgive us of our sin. He tells us things like this. Go and sin no more. Be whole. Go live. Go get it. Go see. Go walk. Go run. Go! Why? Because the sin is done. Amen? And what do we want to do with it? Now, what do we need to be in this church? We need to be a deeply, note the clarification here, loving congregation. Because let me tell you right now, I don't know about you all, but I still mess up. What about you guys? How many of you all have messed up before, even as a follower of Christ? Can I ask you all a question? Why is it? This has been my lifelong struggle. In the church, when church people mess up, we instantly shoot them. We are afraid of it. You know why? Most of the time, they've done what we've done. And we don't want them to rat us out. So if we get rid of them, then we don't have to what? Deal with them. Let me tell you, deeply loving one another means this. We ought to have an attitude unto each other that we want each other to have the best life possible in Jesus Christ. If we ever move to that in this congregation, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a rushing wind. There's going to be a clap of thunder. There's going to be a lightning from heaven. There is going to be a move. Now, you talking about the revival a lot of y'all have been praying. There's the match to that revival. The match is not sitting in a room waiting. The match is loving with the intensity of Jesus Christ, sin being released. I found this, when sin is gone, the wind can blow stronger. Amen. But when you're sitting on it and you're locked up in it and you can't get rid of it, the only one that can love you deep enough to forgive you is Jesus. How many of y'all got Jesus in you? Church, can you imagine if we started loving each other? I'm reading you what that love covers a multitude of sins. Love each other so much you want each other to get better. Wow. And even if you don't know that person, I love that person because they're a human being and I want them to get what? Better. Let's talk about it a minute. It's summertime. We can talk a little bit. What do you think? Is this real? Or do you think the Bible just wrote this because they had to like fill out some pages and it was required to have five chapters instead of three and Peter just put this in as an addendum? Or is this something that's true? Love covers a multitude of sins. The heartbeat of the church, and Hillview, I got to compliment you. We're on our way on this one. We really are. 16 years, we are learning how to love. Are we there yet? Andy, Deacon's meeting 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, elders meeting, whatever we do there. We prayed. What did I pray? I prayed, God, I really don't understand your love. And help me understand your love. Then I found the next week we were in situations where we had to understand His love. His love. God's love says this. I don't think He looks at what we've done as much as what we can be. When he looked at King David, when David messed up, he didn't look at David's mess up. He looked at what David could be. When he looks at Hillview Heights Church, I don't think he looks at where we're messed up. He looks at what we could be. And I think our goal ought to be to tap in to the clear vision that God has in store for us. And I do think it's thousands of people coming to know Jesus Christ. Chuck, we're just beginning here. And we finally got some people that believe this vision. I got pastors on this staff now that aren't just kind of going, well, that's really nice, it's really cool, it's really awesome. They're going, I believe God can bring 1,500 people, brand new believers to Christ in a year in this church. And they're believing that. Now some people jerk and go, well, that's numbers. You better believe it. I'm glad I was one of the numbers 1 year that came to Christ. It's not about numbers, it's about people. By the way, we're behind in the numbers. If I can just put it in a very frank way, the church is really not in a good number ratio. We'll have about 20,000 people go to church this morning in Warren County, and we'll have 80,000 people in this county go nowhere. There's your numbers. If you want me to get one of them little old boards that says, you know, so many in Sunday school, I wish that little old board would just keep the right score. Church offering, you know, $30,000. Movie, $7.5 million this weekend. There's the real numbers. So if you want to look at the scoreboard, it looks like we're getting killed. Problem is, we don't keep score like everybody else. You see, we love so deeply that love covers a multitude of sins. And love restores people. And I want you to stay in that restoration with God. Look what he says. He goes on and teaches us how to be community this morning. I want to tell you this. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. How many times does the Bible say don't grumble? It's several. Amen. And you know what? Hey, at Hillview, can I compliment you all for something? We have very few grumblers here. And the ones we've had's left. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I have to pastor this way, but I'm a coach, you know? And if you ain't no good, I ain't going to play you anyway. Go find another team. We got to be good at this. Am I being straight enough this morning? We got to be good at this. Some church in America's got to wake up and say, you know what? We're going to love in such a way that people will be restored. We're going to believe this bloody cross in such a way we believe it can heal anybody, no matter what color they are, no matter what intensity they have. We believe in Jesus works. And we're going to be clear-minded and self-controlled. And when we come together as a church, we're going to hope the power of God in everybody that surrounds us. Power of God will get you through. Amen? It'll get you through. When I heard about the tragic news of some of our brothers in this city that lost their lives on a motorcycle yesterday, take a guess what my first thought was. Did they know Jesus? Because they were very successful people. And it really hit me. You know what? None of that success mattered in a split. The end of all things is near. I ride a motorcycle. You know how long it takes to be in the apocalypse? Right there. And you know what? I got a thing about some men. If I got rolled, what happened? I said, how I've preached, what I've done, Kentucky Baptist, Southern Baptist Convention, Bible colleges, education, seminaries, lectures, conferences, none of that matters. Guess what matters? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the offering of suffering. And shame. And my sins are on it. And on the other side of it's an empty tomb. And my life's in the power of the resurrection. So when this flesh lays down, this spirit goes on. Watch. At that moment of the end of all things, that's all that matters. I mean, how many of y'all believe that? Now, here's my deal. If that's what matters, then we better stay in what matters. You know, and I go to churches and they'll tell me that. I'll be consulting with them. They'll go, well, Pastor, we need to bring people to the Lord. I said, when are y'all going to believe that? You've been ministering for 10 years and seen 20 people come to the Lord. And they said, well, we're being filled with the Spirit. I said, which one? Because the one I know in Acts 2 is the true Holy Spirit. And it doesn't only make you jump up and down. It doesn't only make you speak a different language. 3,000 were baptized that day. So you got to read the full. I ask people all the time, they go, well, I'm an Acts 2 Christian. I said, top part or whole thing? I said, are you Acts 2 A or are you Acts 2 A and B? Because if you A and B, the fire falls, the power falls, the gospel's preached, and many come to know the Lord. Amen. If you Acts 2 A, then you get in the upper room, you pray, and you stay. But if you're a full spirit believer, you pray and you preach. Amen. And when you preach Christ crucified and resurrected, they begin to ask, what must we do to be saved? Maybe the reason they're not asking what must we do is we Acts 2A instead of Acts 2A and B. What if we put the two parts together and stayed clear-minded and self-control? What if we gave grace to one another? I'm just saying, I believe this morning right here in the Scripture, we got the recipe. When I find my Bible to get the rest of it, where'd it go? There it is. We got the recipe of a happening church. Look at here. It's amazing. Look at here. You ready? This is cool. Here we go. You ready? I'm finishing up. The end of all things is near. So what should we do? We should offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. When people come in here, they ought to feel welcome. If you're a new person here today, we welcome you. If somebody's not talking to you, sitting beside you, they might be a new person too, so you need to check. In fact, we probably just need to have tags that says new person. In fact, I hope every one of us wear a new person tag. I hope every Sunday that every one of us come in here, we're a new person in Jesus Christ. And we're getting renewed and we're becoming shinier every Sunday. We're going that way, not the other way. Amen? We need to love one another without grumbling. Now look what he says do. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. If you got a gift, bless somebody with it. Isn't that great? So you want to see a spiritual movement go on? You take who you are and bless somebody else with it, and God will start moving with you. Now be honest with me. How many of y'all have really seen that in the American church? I see us, Gary, you've studied this thing. I see us celebrating our gift more than serving with our gift. You know what I'm talking about? We're proud of it.
Well, I got the gift of helps.
Then help somebody. I had these mothers here one time. They all had a concern for preschoolers, and they prayed for preschoolers for hours. I said, why don't y'all go in the nursery and put a hand on that prayer, since we don't have enough nursery workers? Amen. Well, the Lord hadn't gifted me to do that. Now, I tell you what that is, but I can't use that kind of language here in the church. If you're going to be rebellious, just be rebellious. Just say, I'm a lazy human being unwilling to use what God's given me to bless others. Don't create some kind of holy formula to say no. Just say what? No, I ain't going to do it. I'm a rebellious, disobedient, ungrateful imp in the kingdom of God. Don't sound as good, does it? I could care less if those children are on drugs and alcohol. I won't even touch them from the beginning. Don't taste good there, does it? Sounds better later on when we're in a big prayer conference going, I just want to pray for all the teenagers that are messed up in our land. Why didn't you take care of them when they was babies? Why didn't you start caring for them when they came out of the womb? Why didn't you watch this? Man, I need some prayer warriors in the nursery. Be holding those little babies saying, God, I don't know what this little bald-headed baby's going to be. Look like he's going to be a big boy, Lord. You bless him. What if we had people praying over our babies in the nursery? I wonder what they'd turn out to be. Two
2-year-olds need a lot of prayer. Now, 2-year-olds, we need people that have the gift of deliverance. 2-year-olds get demons. We need prophets in there. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. See, if you get it out at 2, somebody ain't got to live with it at 22. You see what I'm saying? Get it out. Help them. Amen. Yeah, I'm being a little funny, but in a way, I'm not being funny. Because I've seen some 42-year-olds that still got some 2-year-old in them. Amen. My wife say, amen. I've seen it at the lake. Okay, look at here. Throw fits and stuff. Look at here. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I want to show you. That's our job. To take who we are, what we are, and what Jesus is about, the grace of God in whatever we're doing ought to come out. That's what we do together as a church. It's community. And he said, and if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If you're going to say something for God, you better make sure God said it. It's in God. Okay? What's this? If it doesn't sound like Jesus would say it, it's because he wouldn't. You know what amazes me? Jesus talked a lot less than we do, and he was the Son of God. What amazes me is Jesus told people a whole lot less to do than a lot of my friends, and he knew what to tell them. Isn't that amazing? In fact, Jesus never came up to a person in the business and said, by the way, Daddy wanted me to let you know this. Read the Bible. In fact, when he spoke, he didn't have to tell them who he was speaking from because they all sat there and said, this is one who speaks with authority. If you speak under God's authority, you don't have to tell anybody you're speaking under God's authority. Amen? But speak under it. As the very words of God. Guess what he said? If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Praise Jesus, you're praising God. God gets the glory. Amen? What makes Hillview a great church? Jesus Christ. If Jesus hadn't come, we're not having a great church. But he came, so we're going to have a great church. And then he says to this, live in this way. You ready? To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So guess what? This week I want to pray that you have a week that says, to him be the power and the glory forever and ever. What? Amen. Well, let's stand. Did y'all get anything today? Anybody learn anything today? How many of y'all can praise God today because you're in church? You came to church. Come on, go ahead and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love summertime. I love summertime in Hillview. We're on a mission here for about 8 or 9 weeks. Okay, we're going to work on some things in the summer. You ready? I want you all to get to know some people in this congregation you don't know. You know what? I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to take you to the edge. We're going to bungee jump today. You ready? You really want to get gutsy in the name of Jesus? Find somebody. How many of y'all got somebody in here you don't know? Are we going to get gussing? Ask him to come pray with you. Say, I don't know you and you don't know me, but we're both supposed to know Jesus. Let's go see. That rhymes, doesn't it? That must have been of the Spirit. Come and let's pray together at this altar. You know what I'm convinced of? The more we pray together, the more we'll execute what I've talked about today.
To love one another.
Let's get each other better, yeah? Jesus wants us to. What do you think? I don't know how we lose in this deal. We're going to turn it up a little bit. Y'all cool with that? I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago, whenever we had a deacon's meeting, man, we had a prayer meeting. Y'all know some of our deacons? Listen, if we have a spiritual movement, it's from God. We're not going to make it up on our own. I've looked in the room. Isn't that right, JD? I mean, we don't sit around and say, let's get spiritual. God has to go, you will be spiritual. Boom! Then we go, yes, Lord. But it's this sense of saying, come on, world, Jesus wants to love you, and allowing the world to really be what captured by the grace of God. Today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you straight up for this reason. I don't know when the end will be for you. Is that fair enough? And I know this, you better have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And without a relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you what, not only is the end near, the end is near. You're done. What do you have to wait for the rest of your life without a relationship with Jesus Christ? You have a total separation from God, which is hell. Is it hot down there? Not only is it hot, it's lonely. And not only is it lonely, it's very depressing. It's very anxiety-ridden. It'd take all your mental illnesses and pile them into one moment. There's hell. Now I got great news. Jesus Christ came so no living human being would ever have to go there. Hell's a place for rebellious angels, not rebellious humans. So what do I got to do, preacher? How many of y'all realize you've sinned? You messed up. Yeah, it's called dead stuff. Why don't you tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I broke the Ten Commandments. You said, thou shalt not, and I went and did. And since I did, I want to be done with that. So, Lord Jesus, will you forgive me? And then guess what? Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave so you can do what? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me. I believe you live in me. Come into my life. Guess what will happen? He'll come into your life. Now, if that prayer is too long, this one works real well. Lord Jesus, I'm real messed up. Help me. He'll take it from there. But you know what? You'll never pray that till you realize you messed up enough. Some of y'all are banking on an American, being an American to get to heaven. You're going, Lord, I'm pretty good. I don't cuss, I don't drink, and I don't smoke. That just means you're going to be alcohol-free, nicotine-free, and have some real nice words to talk to the devil in. That's all that means. You say, well, I'm a nice-looking person. You're going to get old, too. You're not going to get to heaven on your looks. You're not going to buy your way in. How many of y'all trying to Led Zeppelin your way into heaven? You're going to buy your stairway. You say, well, I've done real good, man. I gave like $400 to the church, $400 to Kiwanis Club. I share. That's $800. You're not going to buy your way into heaven. You got to receive the gift. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, you know the souls and the hearts of people that are here. You know those that have never been baptized. You know those that aren't connected to you. And God, praise be unto Jesus, you know those that are. And so, Lord, I just pray today because, Lord, the time is near. And, Lord, I thank you for shining on Hillview Heights Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, because you've been able, Father, to draw people to your grace from this place. And, Lord, we pray that that continue, but we pray that it pick up. Lord, we pray for the 60,000 plus people in this county that are probably not connected to you. And today, if you were to blow the trumpet, they would go to hell. And Lord, across our nation, out of 269 million people, so many people who just ignore what you've said. Help us live so deeply and love so much that they'd want to hear what you got to say. So Lord, right now, I just ask if there's anybody here. Listen, you feel the Spirit right now. If you're here, you come on. Lord Jesus, you talk to them. This prayer will help you. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I broke your Ten Commandments. I've not done what you've asked me to do. But today, Jesus, I've heard you clearly. You want to come into my life. Lord Jesus, come into my life and give me your love and your grace and your peace. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. I'm coming to you, Jesus. Please come into me. Lord Jesus, help me. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that stuff will work. That's fine. And you just tell him today, Lord, I believe you're a total hoax. I believe you're absolutely made up. And I just want you to show up. I mean, if he's not there, what's the big deal about praying about him showing up? If he's not there. Hello? Some of you need to get it on with the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit's been calling you to serve in powerful ways and to move in the Spirit. Move in the Spirit. We don't have an allergic reaction to the Spirit here at Hillview. Allow God to be moving in your life. Love deeply. Amen. Okay, this altar's open. It's your time. It's our time with God. It's really Jesus' time. So come on, let's celebrate for a few moments. If you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. Quit putting that off. I'm just going to be straight about it. Let's get that done. Let's get things squared up so we can go and do what God's called us to do. Serve one another. Come on, in love, in love. Come on, church.